Well, amen. Thank you, girls. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to two passages of Scripture. I'll read out of Proverbs 23 to begin with tonight. Then we're going to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Well, let's begin tonight with Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and I'd like to read just the first part of verse 7. The first part of verse 7. Listen very carefully to what Solomon says here. He said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." All right, now, hold your place there, or mark it so you can look back to it in just a little bit. But turn over with me now to the book of Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'd like to read starting in the fourth verse. And we'll read down through verse 9. Beginning in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I want to speak to you tonight from these verses, primarily from verse 7, 8, and 9. And I want to entitle the message tonight, "The Right Kind of Thinking." The right kind of thinking. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. And then we'll look at these verses. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, tonight as we look at these verses and focus our attention upon our thought processes, Father, I pray that you'll bless richly and give us understanding of your Word. Lord, the wisest man that ever lived outside of your Son, the Lord Jesus, said to us in the book of Proverbs that as he thinketh in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Lord, now we look at what Paul said here and realize that there are some things that we are to think about. There are some things that we are to get in our hearts. And once they're in our hearts, then that's what we are. And so, Father, help us tonight. I pray the power of God to be upon the message. I pray that you will help me as I speak. And Lord, you know my heart tonight. I want you to use me. I want to be a blessing. I want to help folks with your word. So, Father, bless tonight. And may we leave here rejoicing at the things that we learn from the Scripture tonight. Draw us close to yourself now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, now from Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look at the very last part of verse number 8. And in the very last part of this verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Think on these things." Think on these things. You know, we're always thinking. Now, I know that you probably know some people, you think to yourself, they're not thinking. You probably have thought that about somebody, or you might have seen somebody do something, or you heard somebody say something and you look at them and say, what in the world were they thinking? All right, now the truth of the matter is we're always thinking, whether we realize it or not. We are always thinking. The Word of God has a lot to say about the matter of our thinking processes. As we just read a moment ago from the book of Proverbs, the wisest man that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus, King Solomon, made this statement when he said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, look carefully, please, at the 7th verse of Philippians chapter 4. And you'll notice that Paul says that if we will rejoice in the Lord in verse 4, and if we will let our moderation be known unto all men, if we will be careful for nothing, that means not to be stressful, not to be anxious, not to be worried about everything coming down the pike. But if we will pray and pray for others and pray for ourselves and give thanksgiving, Paul said, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, folks, I don't know if you realize that or not, but that is a tremendous statement that Paul just made right there. I mean, people everywhere are looking for some kind of stability, and they're looking for peace in their heart, and they're troubled by everything that is happening all around them. And yet here's the Apostle Paul that tells us that if we will just live for the Lord and just trust the Lord, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds. You know, God has given us the ability to think with our minds, and then God has given us the ability to think with our hearts. There are two different processes. That you think with your mind all the time. You're always thinking. Probably some of you are thinking right now about where in the world is he going with this sermon. See, you're always thinking, are you not? Well, God has given us the ability to think with our minds, but God has also given us the ability to think with our hearts. The mind in the Bible is the term that God uses to define or to describe the intellectual center of a person. But notice that the heart is not the same thing as the mind. The heart in the Bible is described as the center of our emotional makeup. And it is out of the heart that we find the issues of life. It's out of the heart that we find the abundance of life. And notice in this 7th verse that the mind and the heart cannot possibly be the same thing. He says that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds. So evidently the mind and the heart are two separate parts of our being, of our person. Now, let me see if I can take this and illustrate it for you. Let's illustrate the difference between the two by using and illustrating with the matter of salvation. Here's a person who hears the gospel of Christ and sits and hears the gospel and then says, "Well, you know, I believe the facts that I just heard. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that he died on the cross for me, and I believe that if I will trust him as my Savior, he will indeed save me and give me eternal life. I believe in the facts of the gospel." I remember as a child hearing my mother tell me about the Lord and tell me about God and about how I needed to get saved. I remember all that. I've never doubted, not one time. Even before I was saved, I wasn't saved until I was 16, but I never doubted anywhere, anytime, the facts of the gospel. I grew up under hearing the facts of the gospel. I grew up under the sound of the gospel, but I believed it up here with my mind. But there is a difference between believing with your mind and believing with your heart. And so So with the mind, it is entirely possible for a person to give mental consent to the facts of the gospel. But do you remember what Paul said when he got to the end of explaining the gospel in the 10th chapter of Romans? And in verse number 9 and 10, he said this. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart. Yeah. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so there are a lot of people that have a head knowledge of Christ. But we, according to this verse, need a heart knowledge of Christ. Now, Billy Sunday understood that, a great revivalist of the last century. And Billy Sunday used to say all the time when he was preaching that a lot of people were going to miss heaven by about 18 inches. That's the distance from your head to your heart. They have a head knowledge of Christ, but they don't have a heart knowledge of Christ. And folks, there is a vast difference between the heart and the mind. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Lord Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, these three cannot possibly all be the same thing. It would have been redundant for him to say that we are to believe with our minds and with our hearts and with our souls. And here in this passage of Scripture, in Philippians, we are also told that there is a difference between the mind and the heart. Now, remember that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I have said for many, many years, you are, that's present tense, you are what you have been becoming. You are what you have been becoming. And I believe that with every fiber of my being, folks. We need to get the right kind of thoughts into our minds and get those thoughts then from our minds into our hearts so that we can be the kind of person that we ought to be. Now, look at your Bible, please. Let's go back to verse 8. Go back to verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to speak to you tonight for a little while on some things to think about. And I believe that if we as God's people would listen to the Word of God and then become conscious of our thought life. I mean, just become aware that our minds are always thinking. And to realize the danger of getting the wrong thing in our hearts, but recognize the power and the strength that comes from getting the right things in our hearts, I think it will help us to be better Christians. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. You get something. Now remember, our minds are always thinking. And you get something from your mind into your heart, and don't forget, as you think in your heart, that's who you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you get something from your mind, which is always thinking, which is always working. You get something from your mind to your heart by dwelling upon it, by thinking upon it. Did you ever hear anybody say, you know, the more I think about that, the madder I get? Really? Yeah. Oh, boy, the more I think about that, oh, the madder I get. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so if you sit and you think about, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, eventually you just become an angry person. You just become what you have been becoming. Why doesn't anybody ever say, you know, the more I think about that, the happier I get? It is because we think with our minds. But the more we think about something, it is transferred from our minds to our hearts and thus becomes what we are. Now, the more you think about something, the more that thing gets rooted in your heart. Now, let me illustrate it again. Let me illustrate it this way. Do you remember, guys, when you fell in love with your wife? You say, well, let me see. No, you better not say that. Remember when you fell in love with your wife. Now, how'd that happen? Well, you talked and you spent time together and you got to know one another and then you fell in love. You found out that once you hit that love place, you found out that when you were apart, you spent all your time thinking about her. You could not wait to see her. You thought about what you were going to say to her when you saw her. You missed her. Your mind was just always thinking about her. And you realized one day, wow, I love this woman. And so you thought, I've got to tell her that I love her. So you took her out to dinner. And once you got your happy meal, you took her by the hand and you looked into her eyes, and with all the sincerity that you could muster, you said to her, I just want you to know that I love you. And I have thought about this, and I want you to know that I love you with all my mind. She sits there and looks at you and says, what? What did you just say? Oh, I love you with all my mind. No, we know that you don't love with all your mind. You love with all your heart. Yes. I mean, you love her with all your heart. The mind is intellectual, but the heart, that's emotional. And it is with the heart that you are driven to be the person that you are. What you did was you thought about her, and you thought about her, and you thought about her until the process went from the mind down to the heart. And once it was in your heart, then it was all consuming. Once it was in your heart, then it governed your actions and it governed your thoughts and it drove you to behave in a certain way. If someone wrongs someone and then that person sits and stews on it, sure enough, the more they think about it, the angrier they get. It's the way God made us, folks. So I'm saying that you transfer from your mind to your heart by thinking about it, by dwelling upon it. And if you're not careful now, your emotions can get away with you, and they can start to drive a wedge between you and God and between you and others. And sure enough, the more you think about something, then the angrier you can get. Now, folks, with that principle understood, we should see this. There is very little wrong with any of our relationships that couldn't be straightened out with us thinking on the right things. Does that make sense to you? I mean, with this understanding, if the more I think about something, I then transfer it from my mind to my heart, and once it's in my heart, that becomes what I am. That means, dear friend, that there is very little wrong with relationships that we have with one another. There is very little wrong with our relationships that couldn't be straightened out if we were thinking on the right things. I think what Christians need to do is realize this principle is in the Word of God and go to work on our thinking processes. I've said it, and so have you. I mean, we all said it to our children when they were growing up. We all pointed our finger at them and said, young lady or young man, whatever the case may be, we've said, now you better straighten up your behavior. You better straighten up. You better change your actions. You better change your attitude, young man. You better change your heart. I mean, what you are, what you have been becoming. You are what you have been thinking in your heart. Man, I can remember, and thank God for a dad that, I don't know if he understood this biblically, but my dad understood this. When we were growing up, we weren't allowed to pout. You remember that? We weren't allowed to pout. My dad would say, wipe that off your face right now. And boy, I mean, if you didn't wipe that off your face, you were in trouble. It got real serious after that. Because I know what he was doing now. I, of course, didn't know what he was doing then. But I now know what he was doing. What my dad was saying is, hey, I'm not going to let you sit over there with that attitude and with that thinking in your mind, because you are what you have been becoming. I think that's probably what's wrong with a lot of folks today. We've sat around and we've stewed about our injustices, and we've stewed about how unfair everything and everybody is. And we have just gotten ourselves into a bad way of thinking, and our hearts are showing what is really within us. Folks, listen, you're not going to change your attitude or your actions or your behavior until first you change the way you think. And if you sit around and stew on things, then you're never going to get beyond what is bothering you. Do you ever see someone just consumed with bitterness? I have. You ever see someone just absolutely eaten up with anger? I have. You ever seen anyone just consumed with jealousy or with greed? I have. I mean, how do you get that way? I mean, how do you get that way? Well, I can tell you, in 34 years of dealing with people, I've seen people that are just absolutely filled with bitterness. It is who they are. It is what they are. And they are miserable, miserable people. How do you get like that? Well, I tell you how you get like that. You get that like that because you sit around and think about that stuff until it becomes what you are. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. It goes right back to what I said this morning. That's why you need to be in this book and get the Word of God in your heart. Get God's Word in your heart. There's a second thing I want you to think about. And that, I've already stated it, but let me spend some time on it here. Our thinking needs to be based on the Word of God so that we keep right with God. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Psalms for just a minute. Look at Psalm 119. This psalm is all about the Word of God, all about God's Word. Look at Psalm 119, please. Look at verse 9. Psalm 119. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. And the answer is given in the second part of the verse: by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole what? Heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine, what? Heart. Heart. Now, how do you get something from your mind to your heart? You get it there by thinking about it. When you dwell upon something, that's how you transfer it from the mind to the heart. And here he said in this verse that the more time I spend in the Word of God, then the closer to God I'm going to be. I mean, look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You see, right here is our problem. We don't seek the Word of God with our hearts. I tell you, folks, please, don't get me wrong. I am not against you reading a devotional. I'm really not. Maybe a skosh. Maybe a little bit. But I'm really not against you reading a devotional. But please don't do that as a substitute for this book. Please. I mean, it does not say right here that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. It does not say by taking heed thereto according to the devotional guide. No, it's according to the Word. And we need to be in the Word of God. Christian, you need daily to be reading your Bible. Read it for understanding. Read it for God to hide His Word in your heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. We don't seek the Word of God with our hearts like we should. For in your heart, the Word controls your thoughts and your actions and your behavior. Look at the rest of it. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible is going to keep you close to the Lord. It's going to keep you in a good relationship with the Lord. For when it gets in your heart, then it controls your thoughts and your actions and your behavior. Now going back to Philippians now, to the text that we read a moment ago, we find Paul saying in this seventh verse that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And then in verse 8 and 9, Paul tells us how we can keep our hearts and minds. And how do we do that? By thinking on the right things. Thinking on the right things. Now notice that all this revolves around the matter of thinking based on God's Word. We all have our problems, folks. I have them, you have them. We all have our problems. And right here tonight, I can give you something from the Word of God that's going to help you deal with the problems that you have to face. You see, there is not a problem that a single one of us has that could not be solved if we would seriously change our thinking processes. Look at the recommended guidelines for thinking. Look at verse 8. He said, first of all, we're to think about those things that are true. Now, folks, that kind of throws gossip out the door, doesn't it? That kind of throws some of this garbage on TV out the door. I mean, let's think about that which is true. One thing that we know for sure that is true is the Word of God. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Secondly, whatsoever things are honest. What's that mean? That just means honorable things. Honorable things. Thirdly, he said whatsoever things are just. That has the idea of things that are righteous in the eyes of God. That means that we should really be careful about what we set before our eyes for entertainment. You know, it's a crying shame that most Christians have more of an interest in Hollywood than they do in heaven. It's a crying shame that we know more about who's married to who out in Hollywood and who's been divorced and who's marrying this one now and this one got rid of that one. And we know more about all that stuff than we do about the apostles. And it ought not be that way, folks. We ought to know the Bible. I think one of the reasons why there is so much divorce and so much adultery and so much humanistic thinking among God's people today is because we know more about all that stuff than we do the just things of God. Man, we need to get in the Bible, folks. And we sit around and watch these Hollywood movies and watch TV, and we feed our minds with adultery, and we fill our minds with this wickedness that comes right out of the very pits of hell itself. Listen, you would never have those people sit in your living room and talk the way they do and act the way they do. You would never do that. Why do you want to do it through a television set? Why do you want to do it through a DVR? You better be careful now. You say, well, I can handle that. Yeah, but your kids might not be able to handle that. You say, well, my kids don't watch that. You'd be surprised what your kids watch. You got it in your house, they're watching it. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's tough. It needs to be said. You see, we have to clean up some of the mess. Pastor, I just can't do a thing with them. Grab them by the ear and pull them. Well, I'm taking you to see the preacher. He'll show you. Hey, shouldn't have to get that far. If you didn't bring it in the house to begin with. Number four, whatsoever things are pure. All the commentaries that I read this week told me that word pure is a transliteration of our English word stainless. Stainless. You know what stainless steel is? It doesn't rust. Stainless. In other words, Paul said that we should think on those things that will not leave a stain upon our hearts. Man, I've counseled folks that have told me Pastor, you got to help me. You got to help me. I said, what's the matter? And then they tell me what the problem is. And they say, you know, I've just been sitting around thinking about this. And man, I'm just. And it's what they are now. They've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it till it becomes who they are. Number five, things that are lovely. Lovely. Number six, some things that are of a good report. You know, it's a shame that we have to sit around and hash over with our friends everybody else's bad report. But we do, don't we? We have to sit around and hash over our friends or with our friends, everybody else's bad report. The truth is, folks, when the devil has tripped someone up and when the devil has knocked somebody down and they're on the ground, they don't need our criticism. They don't need our spreading it all over Carroll County. They need someone who is going to look into their eyes with a compassionate heart. I mean, they don't need someone that's going to look down their noses and snub them. Amen. They need a friend. They need somebody to say, here, let me help you up. Let me dust you off. Let me walk with you to make sure you get where you need to get. Folks, listen, we need some compassion towards those that are hurting. And everybody's hurting. We need some Christians who will have the mind and heart of God, who will weep o'er the erring one and lift up the fallen and tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. I mean, listen, what if what has happened to them next week happens to you? Do you want others to treat you the way you've treated the one that just went through the storm? Of course not. You say, well, I just don't know if I could be like that. I'll guarantee you, if you got in this book right here, you could get like that real quick. Brethren, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus looked down upon every person he came across that the devil had knocked down. He looked down upon him, extended a hand, and he lifted him up. Told those disciples, as you have seen me do, that's what you do. And greater works will you do because I go to my Father. Folks, it's one of the most wonderful things you can do is as a friend, reach out and help someone in need. This all boils down to what I've been saying over and over and over and over, Christian. You have got to be in the Word. You've got to be reading. You've got to be studying. You've got to be learning. You've got to be growing. You've got to be allowing the mind of God to become your mind. And folks, that starts as we are in the Word of God and thinking on the right things. You just sit around and think about what you're reading. You think about the Word of God, and soon the Word of God becomes a part of your heart. And it's who you are. It is the person that you are. I just think that we need to think. I don't know how many times through the years I'm going to see my dad Tuesday morning, and I'm going to ask him when I see him. But I said, Dad, wonder how many kabillionth times you said to me, would you just think? My dad used to just say that to me. My dad is a brilliant guy. He is just one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. He is. He's a brilliant man. And I think it just drove him nuts that I didn't think till yesterday. No, I think it just drove him nuts. I don't know how many times he'd point that finger at me. Son, would you just think? Think! And I remember a few times saying, about what? What he wanted me to do was think about how I was and how I was behaving and what I was thinking, my attitude. And what he was saying was, change your heart. Change your heart. You say, well, Pastor, I got some kids. I'd like to change their heart. Well, here's how you do it. You get them thinking upon the right things. You know, plopping them down in front of the TV set is not thinking on the right things. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them, train them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. You say, well, preacher, I bring him to church. There's more to training than just bringing them to church and throwing them in a classroom somewhere. And it all goes back to this book. Think. Think. Can you imagine? I sit down on Thursday morning and I say, okay, Lord, I need a sermon for Sunday. I got to preach Sunday. I got to get a message. And so I sit there and I open my Bible and I lay it down. And then I get my video game out and I start playing my video game. You know, somebody walks in and says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm working on a sermon. No, I've got to come in here and preach from this. And so in order to come in here and preach from this, I have to read this. And in order to get it from here to here, I got to think on it. Not just with my mind, but with my heart. I don't know, a lot of you through the years, you've said, Pastor, I could read that umpteen times and I would never see what you saw out of that. And I have read that umpteen times, and Pastor, I've never seen what you saw in that. Well, here's how you get that out of the Bible. Instead of just reading it, you read it. You don't just, look here, read it, you read it. And you get in the Word. And then the Word gets in you. And once the Word is in you, then you got something to say. And you got something to govern. And you got something to guide. And you got something to teach. And you got something to instruct. But the problem with so many of God's people today is we don't read the Bible. And folks, the Bible is where it's at. I know y'all get tired of hearing it, but I'll say it till they carry me out of here. Get in the book. Just get in it. Get in it tomorrow, and then get in it Tuesday, and then get in it Wednesday, and then get in it Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and next Sunday, and then start all over again on Monday. And get the Word of God in your heart. And you'll find the peace that you're looking for. It'll be there, I promise you. I promise you, based upon the promise of the Word of God. Let's get our thinking processes right. And they get right by getting in the book.